Kutcher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Kutcher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man, like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. Happier times with Rob Gronkowski. Perhaps now he has found a way to teleport himself or time machine himself to Florida at any moment.
Yeah, I would say that there's time machines waiting at the airport for him. If that's what he wants to do.
I'm telling you, I think that in a right night, you could put on a refrigerator box time machine and that he would buy it for $1 million.
Crayon. Out of all the quotes that he's ever said, there's been a million of them. That's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite. That is as Rob Gronkowski as he gets.
And you know the University of Arizona is just beside themselves. They're just so thrilled that that was the guy.
Oh, they know. They're not fooling anyone. I think even they know that. I think people go there and all they have to do is just see the pool parties that happen during the recruitment process, and that's how they get their athletes.
Well, he certainly enjoyed himself, and he also enjoys kick-ass motocross.
Okay, this is very, very strange. So the big motocross thing was down at Gillette Stadium this past week. Now, as you know, the OTAs were being held last week, and I thought it was odd that, you know, there was an announcement that Tom Brady wasn't going to be doing it, and Rob Gronkowski as well. But it was strange how at the very beginning of OTAs, TMZ happened to get a picture of him, Rob, and his girlfriend frolicking in a pool somewhere. And TMZ and the Gronks have a little bit of a relationship. Like, I mean, there's all these different news things that leak out about Rob Gronkowski that have nothing to do with football or anything controversial. It's almost like it's just like, here's some pictures of Rob having fun.
Oh, sure.
Why don't you run these?
That happens all the time.
It does. But in this case, it just seemed like he wanted it out there that instead of doing OTAs, he's out here with his hot girlfriend frolicking in a pool. Like, he wanted that out there. And then there's this. And then there's on Saturday, Rob Gronkowski comes out to the podium at Gillette Stadium where this is not a Patriots press conference. This is all about the motocross that's happening. And
he's wearing a motocross jersey.
Full on motocross jersey. He's got the helmet on when he first comes out. And remember, right next door is the weight room that most of his teammates had showed up at, were working out at this week. He refused to. But he did show up for this, and here's how the very strange press conference went.
There has been a lot of speculation around my whereabouts this offseason and what's next for me. That's why I'm here today to clear that all up. Today, I'm a Monster Energy Supercross rider at a place I know well, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
He reads so well. It just flows off his tongue.
Foxborough, Massachusetts? I had no idea Foxborough was in Massachusetts.
Well, listen, it's hard to tell when he's off the cuff from when he's reading.
Sweating up in here.
Rob, what's your status for the football season? Are you playing with the Patriots this year?
Status is doing really great. I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good.
He's obviously
my status is doing really good. Is that what he said?
Yes, my status is doing really good. I can go vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
I bet you if you gave a four-year-old, showed him a motocross bike, they could go, they would say, my status real good, vroom, vroom.
I can ride that bike like no other, and my speed is up there.
Are you still contemplating retirement from football?
Depends on how my racing skills go today.
Coming at you, Rick. I thought we were talking about today's event.
That's the PR guy.
Yeah,
shut up.
The big, the little PR guy.
You saw none of these questions coming, genius.
I thought we were talking about the event.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, okay, that's what everyone cares about.
That's right. Everyone was just going to see him up there and talk dirt biking, yes.
You know, you're exactly fortunate enough to actually have a press conference where people are there.
I was say, right. Congratulations on the publicity.
Who's at the motocross press conference?
Good for
Rob Gronkowski's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Easy Rider magazine, and then you finally have some people covering your event. I thought these questions, then they should have all just stood up and left. Here's all my questions. Hey, Rob, what do you got there? Two wheels?
That's right.
Today's event, as you know, I've learned. Never talk forward. I'm just here today in the present.
Never talk forward?
Of course not. You got to talk in reverse. I'll help them out.
I'm working hard. They're on the real one. Forward, I'm just here today in the present. I'm working hard. I'm riding these bikes, ones you teach me, and just drinking Monster Energy cracks so you can get wild, do crazy stuff that people don't like when I do it, but I'll just do it. It's crazy.
Thank you. What do you plan on making a decision on whether or not you're going to play?
I don't know. Gotta see how my riding goes. But well protected.
I'm ready for today.
Finally tuned athlete.
Hey, Gronkis, I know you're trying to address the big elephant in the room. What do you say to your fans are really curious about your future?
Oh, that they're going to see a freak elite. That's what.
So you want to come back?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, so that was like, he goes, I'm going to be a freak leak when I come back. And he goes, so you're coming back? And he goes, maybe. Mm.
Have you been in communication with Belichick about, you know, your plans and all that stuff?
Just Monster Motocross I've been worrying about today. Yeah. It's going to be a great riding out there. People are going to get some big air.
Do you plan on attending the optional workouts that are upcoming?
No.
Why?
Got dirt biking skills.
I think you might be too tall, so football might be the place for you, but we're about to find out.
I see a guy. He's retired. Oh, Rob Ninkovich. Hey. How's it feel? You're retired.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. I'm less painful.
Okay, so Rob Ninkovich shows up, and he's asking questions now. So Rob Ninkovich is now in the crowd asking questions.
No. Yeah. As a buddy?
Yep, as a buddy.
As a pal?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why Ninkovich hasn't moved.
Well, I mean, he's lived here for a while.
No, I know, but it's just...
He's got kids. They're in school and stuff like that. So even if he was to move, you'd have to wait till the school year was over.
Okay.
Quick question. Other than 87, if you had a number plate, what would be your other number that you would love to rock?
Setting him up with the 69 joke. Let's see if he bites. Let's see if Gronk is smart enough to understand where he's going here. Setting him up with the 69 joke.
The great thing about that joke is that it's really, really funny.
Will Rob Gronkowski understand where Ninkovich is going with the 69 setup? Put it right on the tee for him.
Nope, he's got the bat on his shoulder. He's going to take a called strike right over the middle of the plate.
Come on, Rob.
Other than 87, if you had a number plate, what would be your other number that you would love to rock other than 87 on the track?
Oh, my gosh, what's the best number out there?
Four.
Number four.
Number four?
Yeah.
Like 450?
52, I'm thinking
number.
50, your number.
Yeah.
Maybe 54.
54.
Yeah,
right. Brewski. Good stuff. Number one.
Number one, yeah, for number one racer.
Yeah.
What are you doing on your other helmet anytime soon?
The other one? When it comes down to time. Yeah.
Rob, what do you plan to do if another rider tries to tackle you?
Just run them over. Give them or karate chop them. I'll be riding. Right. Kick them right out. You know, like the movies where they're riding. Boom!
Okay. All right. Mike Giardi tweeted something after that was done. He said,
By the way, I just got a text from someone. He was at, Gronkowski was at the MotoGP bike racing race in Austin on Sunday.
Okay. Well, I mean,
so he was also in Austin doing this.
Okay. So Mike Giardi tweeted something, and he says, I think Gronk is getting traded. I think he wants to get traded. That may be the case. All I know is, if that isn't just a giant middle finger to Bill Belichick, I don't know what is.
Oh, no, entirely.
The entire thing, like, he just pulled down his pants and said, well, here you go there, Bill. You can... the fact I'm standing right next to where I was supposed to be, like literally the room next door is the weight room, and I'm standing here and I'm refusing to go because I'm wearing a silly costume. This is a middle finger of all middle fingers to Bill Belichick. This team right now is in full revolt mode. Whether it's what's going on with Brady, Danny Amendola calling him out, they have picked sides, and it's not Bill Belichick.
No.
And I totally believe Mike Giardi, who's as plugged in as anybody, is that right now he wants nothing to do with Bill. They're still pissed about what he did at the Super Bowl, and that was the final straw. They've been tolerating his culture because they were winning, and now that they're not winning, and he essentially caused them to lose, in their minds at least, by not playing Malcolm Butler.
It's the worst mistake that Belichick's ever made as a coach.
I've said that. Yeah, it is the worst decision he's made, because not only did it affect the game, but it's affected the entire culture that he has spent all of these years building up. And it now seems to be the case where they're mocking him. Like, these seats, if you're Bill Belichick and you saw that, what are you thinking right now? How are you thinking? Are you like, I
know exactly what Bill Belichick's thinking right now.
Of a new way to get rid of this guy.
Well, no. It's as far as what he thinks about what Gronkowski and Brady are doing. I just won 5 friggin' Super Bowls. You know, you guys were playing for a 6th. And if we had played just a little bit better, he would have taken Malcolm Butler. If we had played just a little bit better and made one stop the guys out there, we would have won again. I mean, you have no reason to be angry. I've gotten you all of these championships. That's what Belichick's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the ceiling itself. And it would be interesting if they do trade Gronkowski, because I'm fascinated what they would get for him. With his medical history and his non-willingness to commit to playing football for any length of time. We're going to be joined by Ian Thompson. Talk a little Hooperooney, a little razzle dazzle, a little bit of between the legs, spinoramas.
Hooperooney?
Yeah, we play a little Hooperooney.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Hutcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For running the floor, lead for Jalen. Up makes the three, drives past Dellavedova, in off the rim and in. And the Celtics are rolling right now. Tatum, push pass, open. Jalen Brown, right side, three, got it. 8-point game.
Come on. Reel him in. That's a big fish.
Bounce pass, Jalen Brown, left side, he's thinking about it. Deep three,
oh.
Money.
Oh, storming back in, and down the stretch they come.
Left-hand dribble, going to go into the shoulder of Maker. He slips and falls, but he's able to throw it to the corner where Morris elevates and hits a three.
Slip, slide, and away.
Morris, left-hand dribble, down the left side, gets near the rim, puts it off the window and in, and game four is dead even with 9 minutes to go.
9-5, the Sports Hub, that is Cedric Maxwell. Again, speaking nonsense, as he helped call the game here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ian Thompson, you know him from various writing roles. Now he writes for NBA.com. He's got a book that John just skims books. He doesn't really dig into them, but it's called The Soul of Basketball, an inside look at the 2010-2011 NBA season that he believes changed the face of the game. Ian Thompson, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
We are doing well. And how, if you were looking at the Celtics, is this encouraging for you to see these young guys step up in the absence of the veterans?
Oh, absolutely. They're the most shorthanded team in the league right now. Their active payroll, the guys that they have available to play, it's about $60 million. And, you know, if you compare that, the Dallas Mavericks payroll this whole season was, what, $85 million. The Bucks are playing with $100 million worth of talent, a little bit more than that right now. So the Celtics, they're missing a lot of expensive talent, and they're still pushing it, and you still have to think of them as a favorite. I mean, is Milwaukee going to win a Game 7 in Boston? We all know how that is, that environment. So, yeah, it's amazing to me to see Jaylen Brown becoming a better player in the playoffs than he is during the regular season. That's how it was last year. That's how it's been this year. And Jason Tatum does not look like a rookie. So, yeah, they're both going to be stars.
For the amount of money you're getting Jaylen Brown for, obviously, and how young he is and what his ceiling seems to be, unless the player's name is someone like Anthony Davis, isn't he approaching the point where he's almost untradeable on this team?
He would be in any other city for any other general manager.
That's a good point. And you see guys like Kawhi Leonard's name being thrown around. Is that somebody that you believe that the Celtics are going to try to make a move on this offseason?
It all depends on how much they think of these two guys. They know them better than anybody, and then they need to look, obviously, at the medical reports on Kawhi Leonard. That's a huge thing. Is he going to be a limited player going forward where they have these two young guys? You know, I look at Jason Tatum and wonder if he's going to be the best player on the team by the end of next year. When you think about the great players, the ones who look good as rookies, they become great in their second year. They make a huge jump. You can go through basically all the players in the league, and they've done that. And for Jason Tatum to start the way he's done, it gives you the idea that maybe he's going to be amazing next year, because this year he was just getting used to things, and yet he accomplished all this. So.
And having said all of that, if you get Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back on this roster and you have Al Horford play power forward, it is very possible that Jason Tatum could come off the bench for this team at the beginning of next year. That's how deep they will be.
Exactly. Depending on the matchup, especially if they go big with Aaron Baines, if they have to go big with him starting. And then they still have the draft pick out there, the potential lottery pick. So they're loaded. The only thing that could upset it would be if LeBron went to Philly, and now all of a sudden you have this new recreation of the Philly-Boston rivalry. But it really looks like those are the two teams going forward. You know, Toronto's obviously going to be tough for a while, but those guys are getting older. It looks like the next few years are going to belong to Boston and Philly.
It's funny, the Pelicans are one of my favorite teams to watch here in this postseason. I mean, they've been fun as hell, and Rondo's been, you know, playoff Rondo. We'll get to your experience with him in your book, which is fascinating. But the only thing that bums me out is it seems almost with every win that those guys notch, that the chances of Anthony Davis getting frustrated and wanting to leave, and the Celtics having a shot at possibly making a trade, seems less and less. What do you think are the chances, and will this postseason, in your opinion, affect whether or not he wants to be no longer a member of the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think that's becoming less and less likely, and it was always a long shot anyway.
Yeah.
The Kevin Garnett trade was always a long shot, and yet Danny Ainge was gearing up for that for years, and it finally came true. But that situation in Minnesota was just getting really bad, and they had to trade him to start over. And New Orleans, they're not going to want to trade him. You know, a lot of teams would have been proactive maybe and would have said, look, these guys all leave. They all leave small markets to go somewhere else, and we need to trade them while we can. But that hasn't been their thinking, and he has not shown any sign of wanting to go. So instead of it going south for them and him becoming available, it's gone the other way, and he's come into his own. He's going to be an MVP in the league sooner than later, and they're winning because of him. And he loves it there, and it's got to be just enough to keep him there based on what we're seeing right now. Things can change really fast, but based on what we're seeing right now, it looks like Kawhi Leonard would be the more likely star to be available.
All right, so Ian, your book, The Soul of Basketball, it covers one of the most fascinating years of basketball, that being the 2010-2011 NBA season. That is, of course, when LeBron did the decision. That is a lot of the discourse between the Celtics when it deals with Rajon Rondo. The main thing about this book, and Wallach was telling me about this, is that you tried to make...
You just skimmed it.
He cheated, Ian. He didn't go all in.
He doesn't have the patience to sit and actually read a book.
Sure. That's right. He's, you know, busy trying to kick Grandy out of his spot so he can take over eventually.
If you're doing magic.
So you tried to make Rondo the protagonist in this, if I'm not correct, and Rondo wasn't quite cooperating.
On board, right.
Is that a correct way to categorize what happened?
Yeah, you know, real quick, the book is about that 2010-11 season, and it's really all about people using basketball to figure out who they are, who they want to be. That's what it was for LeBron back then. He was trying to figure out how to be a champion. For Rondo, he's, what, 24, 25 years old. He's got these old Hall of Famers around him. They're all dying for him to be the leader of the team. They need him to be the captain, sort of, and to give them fresh legs and athleticism so that they can beat LeBron, who they really hate at that time. They were really offended by LeBron in Miami, and not 5, not 6, not 7. It's going to be easy for us to win the championship. Paul Pierce was really offended by that. The Celtics were really offended by it. That's why there was such a rivalry between them. That's why they still hate Ray Allen for going there. So anyways, Rondo, on the day before the biggest game of the year, I think we've heard the story, but there's a lot more detail now about it. He throws a water bottle, a vitamin water bottle, at the screen while Doc's getting on him for his mistakes. And it blows up. It threatens to blow up the team. And there's a lot of talk within the team. Should Rondo be suspended? Should he not? Paul Pierce was thinking maybe he shouldn't be allowed to play. And Garnett was like, yeah, no, he should definitely play. We need him. And he ended up playing in the game. And remember, he dislocated his elbow in that tussle with Dwayne Wade. And he came back like 7 minutes of clock time, something like that, later. And the fans are going crazy for him. What a hero, Rondo. We win the game. He's playing with one arm. His teammates aren't thinking he's a hero, you know? The previous day, he'd almost blown them up by his behavior. And that, to me, is that juxtaposition is really, it really shows who Rondo was then. And I look at Rondo now, and I look at a guy that's learned from a lot of his mistakes, and now he's really liked by his teammates in New Orleans, and the same was true in Chicago before. It was not that way, obviously, with Boston. Paul Pierce comes out and tells me just how difficult Rondo was to play with. Good days and bad days. You never knew what you were going to get from him. And there's a whole argument between Danny Ainge and Doc Rivers over Rondo and comparisons with Dennis Johnson. I don't know if John got into that part.
Yeah, no, I did. But the one thing that really struck me was, what was the quote from the bench after Rondo hurt his elbow the day after he threw that water bottle at Doc? What was the quote from the bench?
The basketball gods are bad MFs or something like that. Somebody yelled it out loud as soon as Rondo went down. Something about the basketball gods have a great sense of humor.
No, they didn't like him at all back then.
I wouldn't say they didn't like him at all. I would say he was really difficult, and they needed him, and they understood him. They understood he had a troubled childhood. A lot of players in the league do. You know, there are a lot of players on that Celtics team that were from one-parent families, and they understood Rondo. But they needed him at that time, and he really disappointed them. He really let them down.
What do you make of the back and forth between Rondo and Ray Allen on Ray Allen's book tour?
So, you know, I understand why they're all up mad at Ray Allen for leaving the way he did and for not telling them about it and everything. But when Rondo blew up at Ray Allen in that locker room thing after a game, and he yelled at Ray the fact is, nobody stood up for Ray Allen. So he's got Rondo shouting at him and saying how much he hates Ray and can't wait for Ray to leave. And nobody stood up for him. And that's the part I think is get left out here. That, okay, that to Ray would probably said, okay, that my time is done here. I don't have anybody supporting me. Somebody should be standing up for me and saying, Rondo, you're wrong. You know, back off. But nobody did. So he was really on his own. In addition to all the trade rumors he'd had and you know, his receding role in the team. So I really see both sides of it, and I think everybody ought to just grow up and just say, hey, we won championship together, almost won another one. Let's forget it and move on and live the rest of our lives.
All right, Ian Thompson, you can read him on NBA.com, and the book is called The Soul of Basketball. Thank you so much for the time.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Here are the headlines. Rich, big intellectual over here watching the 60 Minutes.
No, I was forwarded this clip because people knew that I... This freaks me out.
You had your chance there. Sound good.
No.
Dan O'Brien watches 60 Minutes.
He does. Yeah. You know,
like a hot show.
Every Monday morning, do you watch 60 Minutes? I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, like a nerd.
I was watching Jersey Shore, the reunion. Because the women's faces are fascinating.
They don't look anything like they used to?
Snooki has gotten so much work that she looks like a duck. I mean, she just went... Gianni's going to get mad at her. That's her husband, Gianni.
That's like the concept of everything that happens in the house.
Is he a character? Like, do they introduce you to him? Do you
not
know who he is?
Yet, but Gianni might come down because he might get pissed off enough that Gianni has to come down and take care of business.
Oh, see, I thought it was just a one-time special. So you're saying
no?
Oh, well,
and they're signed on to do another one.
See, I'm in on this. I still have not watched the special. I watched Westworld last night, and my head is spinning because I have no idea what happened.
DJ Pauly DelVecchio said on the Ellen DeGeneres show where he was guest DJing that they have another season. They have been signed on for two seasons.
Okay.
And well, Sammy Sweetheart's not on it, by the way.
Well, one show I have been watching is Black Mirror, and Black Mirror is a show that is done completely. It's like a Twilight Zone type one. Every hour is a different story than the next episode, and it's all about how technology is going to either ruin our lives or affect our lives in some one way or the other. And that's why when this story was on 60 Minutes last night, several of our listeners immediately forwarded this to me and said, "Ah, here you go." I'm the one who, I hate Alexa. I think that it's listening to everything that you're doing, and it's taking notes, and it's selling all of your info to the highest bidder. All of this stuff where, you know, just to, for the sake of being able to play an Imagine Dragons song for your kids, any kind of thing that listens to you at home,
I'm not a fan of. You deserve everything you get if you get the Imagine Dragons song.
Well, that's what your kids use it for, right, John?
Not Imagine Dragons, but yeah.
The only worst song is the Mr. Postman song, where they just sing Mr. Postman.
Oh, the Portugal the Man.
How that is a hit song.
I'm a rebel just for kicks, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is Mr. Postman. They even admitted that that's where they got the idea.
I mean, there's no debating it. They took a crap song from the 50s and made a crappier song now. Why that gets played on the radio is just like sometimes I feel like I'm a robot. That I don't have any idea how you people can listen to these things and be entertained by them. But nonetheless.
Okay, so once again, technology being pushed to the limits right here in our backyard. This is an interview that 60 Minutes did with a young guy. He's got to be in his 20s. He's over at MIT. He's a graduate student at MIT.
Just getting laid constantly.
Well, after this, I mean, who knows? Because he might become a billionaire. So he's got an earpiece in, and it's just like this white earpiece in the right side. It's like an earpiece that kind of goes down to his jaw. Am I describing that correctly, Dan?
It's not so much an earpiece, Rich, as it's hooked up to his brain.
Yeah.
It is not listening. It is detecting the sense waves in the nerve endings of his brain.
All right.
So, go with that.
So, he has this thing that's in his ear that's hooked to his brain.
Okay, so it's wired to his brain?
Yeah, like at some point, it looks like an earpiece, but it is indeed.
He had it implanted.
Wired to his brain.
All right, so there's like wires.
It's not implanted.
It's not implanted.
It just touches the outside, and it looks like a piece of tape.
Okay.
And it almost is in the shape of a headphone, like a little microphone.
It's like sensors.
Yeah.
That's attached to the side of his head.
It's like you would get an EKG sensor.
There's no surgery. It's like a sensor that that taps into his brain somehow, but let's take a listen.
He's developed a system to surf the internet with his mind.
What happens is when you're reading or when you're talking to yourself, your brain transmits electrical signals to your vocal cords. You can actually pick these signals up and you can get certain clues as to what the person intends to speak.
So the brain is sending an electrical signal for a word that you would normally speak, but your device is intercepting that signal.
It is.
So instead of speaking the word, your device is sending it into a computer.
That's correct.
Oh, how many times is it just boobies?
Right. That Google search in your brain is just going to come up with some boobies. Horrible things.
Before you can stop yourself, it's just like, pow, there it is. So wait a minute.
The computer's like, the kid's got the computer. Wait, boobies?
Just like,
right. Cassabas. Sacks. I'm trying to think of every
fun bags.
Fun bags. Sweater puppies. Can you imagine the dumb crap that would come up on the internet when they were reading your mind? Show me Fonzie goes hysterically blind. all the stupid stuff that I look at on the internet.
And it's great.
They'd really get a lot out of me.
Yeah.
What's awesome too.
Porn. Happy days.
So you'd be able to like check the history of what your thought was too. Like if it's using Google to search all of these things, you can search your history. So imagine being able to like take the brain out of like Rob Gronkowski and search his history.
It's just a blank page.
Butts, time machine, SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's right. I want a third party to be able to read my mind. That's perfect.
Well, I suppose that you could not put it in.
Well, you know, you could, before you know it, you know, that thing's hooked up to your brain. Before you know it.
Well, I think make the decision that you're not going to put it in your ear.
Well, it starts as an innocent enough exercise, Fred, but then it gets away
from you. On the people.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Let's see how this
so
works.
We tried it.
What is 45,689 divided by 67?
Sure.
He silently asked the computer, and then hears the answer through vibrations transmitted through his skull and into his inner ear.
Six.
Boobies.
Pornography. Three on one. My girlfriend's mom. What is the answer?
Six. Eight. 1.9. 2. 5.
Exactly right.
One more. What's the largest city in Bulgaria? And what is the population?
The screen shows how long it takes the computer to read the words that he's saying to himself.
Sofia, 1.1 million.
That is correct. You just Googled that.
I did.
You could be an expert in any subject.
Mm-hmm.
You have the entire internet in your head.
That's the idea.
It's the idea.
So what is the solution to the problem? Captain Stabbin.
Bang Brothers. Brazzers. My friend's hot mom.
This guy has figured out a way where we will never have to memorize anything ever again. There's no use for memory. There's no use for having to study math because everything will be calculated for you in your head. If you have that right there, there's no question that immediately won't pop the answer into your head. And then, of course, it's going to be misused for all the worst reasons. We all know that.
Well, listen, I think it's going to be keen.
And we're one step closer to the government being able to read what we have been thinking because it's all going to be written down and put in histories via Google.
Has Scarlett Johansson ever been nude?
Dear Mr. Sorry, Skin.
Don't need Mr. Skin anymore.
Mr. Skin.
That's right.
Oh, you need Mr. Skin. You need to know your password. Yeah. I looked up something on Mr. Skin the other day. Keith, go ahead.
So this is probably a bad idea because you guys don't necessarily want to know the real what's really going on here. But while for Fred, it might be that he's constantly wanting to say these things out loud and therefore the machine would pick it up. But for everybody else, there's a difference between what we think and what we are about to say, and it's picking up what you're about to say. It's not reading your mind. Don't be so scared about it. It's just picking up the thoughts that you're trying, that you're about to say, but you don't say out loud.
Well, that's the worst, because then the government could use that against you. Like, I mean, at what point do you have something? Because how many times have you wanted to say something, but you held your tongue because it was wildly inappropriate? Those things are going to be archived in some sort of Google search that's in your brain. And what's to say that the government couldn't subpoena that and say, we need to use this in order to find out whether this person's ill intent or what about hackers that can hack into your brain history? And then the most embarrassing things in the world can be thrown out there. The things that you think,
the things that you say to yourself, I'm going to say, not the things that you think. There's a subtle difference there that I think you're missing. But I understand in your paranoid view of it that it might go that way. I can understand why you think that.
Well, will I be able to see the boobies in my head?
In your head, I'm sure that's not a problem, Fred.
All right, well, listen. I missed your skin, the most random chick. There was an episode of L.A. to Vegas where there's an Uber driver that goes on a date with a guy.
And did you wait for the credits to find out who it was?
Well, no. I went to IMDb and got the... and then looked, and she wasn't even on Mr. Skin, let alone nude.
Interesting.
Well, I found her Instagram page.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a couple of her pictures? Did you follow her?
I slid into them DMs.
Really?
What's up, Knock?
What's up, Knock? That was her name.
That's right. She was the actress Knockers. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. You know what? Take my internet history. There's nothing there. But I look at porn.
Fred's going to have an accident where all of a sudden it just reads all of his Twitter mentions to him by accident.
Oh, no, I don't need that. That's like an episode of The Twilight Zone. Card number 10 right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. What if you tweeted everything you thought? Did everyone be fired in 10 seconds?
I'm telling you, someone can hack into it and put it out there.
I'm not putting that thing in my ear. Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. The score of $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card to celebrate National Pay It Forward Day. Take advantage of Dunkin's new go-to offers and make someone else's day brighter.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Left of the net, it's fired, they score. Van Riemsdyk took his time and shoveled it over the top of Rask. A power play goal for Van Riemsdyk, his third of the series. Leads to the 4-1 lead.
98.5 Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich and Rask giveth and Rask taketh away. Not good. On Saturday night, after he saved the team's ass the game before. By the way, we have tickets to see the Game 5 of the NBA playoffs there over there at TD Garden. That's coming up at 8:50. Tonight, the Bruins in Toronto. 7 o'clock face-off. They dropped the puck at 7 o'clock. You can hear that all here starting at 6:30. And on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, you pop that bad boy on, you got the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're coming home from work and you're saying, what's the score? And you turn it on and you can hear Surratt and Beers, who will join us at 8:20. It's a regular packed show today. And, Bruins better win tonight. I know, John, that you feel very comfortable with them coming home. I mean, they're vastly the superior team. I don't know how they can't get any kind of this Toronto speed in check.
It's within their power. Speed or no speed, Fred, it's within their power. If the Bruins play well, they win. Doesn't matter what Toronto does. You've seen evidence of it. I mean, if the Bruins play well, and most importantly, they start well, they're going to win. Tonight. That's the thing that killed them in Game 5. I mean, they started terribly, and then they never were really able to climb back into it. But if they stay even with this team or get a lead, I feel very confident they put them away tonight.
And also, there's no way Tuukka's going to play the same quality of game that he did.
And that's another thing to factor in, yeah. I expect a much better game from the goaltender.
When Backes was at the big Little League parade yesterday, pushing with his wife, pushing a stroller.
It's the kind of guy he is. Just hours after playing an extremely physical game at the end, he ended the whole thing with a huge fight.
He just crashed a Little League parade. I don't believe his son is playing.
Maybe he was trying to inspire your son. Maybe he was trying to inspire you guys, you know, get you guys rallied up. That's the kind of guy he is.
Oh, yeah. Am I not saying anything to anyone?
Maybe.
Give me a break.
Just avoiding the crew altogether.